The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What a world! Welcome along to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. My name is RG Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from Riders, your humble host, Don of The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, May 19th, 2022. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, and that you've been enjoying the NBA playoffs, that you've been enjoying the NHL playoffs, that you are enjoying, you know, the MLB regular season. My Astros are doing very well right now. I say that ahead of Wednesday's series closer in Boston, though, and I know I'm an Astros fan. I've heard it all. But a lot of sports happening, although obviously we're all yearning for football. We're still a long ways away. We're only about 2 months away from training camp beginning, which is exciting. And by the way, it was reported on Wednesday that the Cowboys will be holding joint practices this summer with both the Denver Broncos and the LA Chargers. So that's exciting. Last week was exciting because we got the schedule, and that adds this kind of tangible effect to the upcoming fall, which is, a lot of Cowboys fans are kind of back now. Tom Ryle and I talked about that on the BTB roundtable this week. And we've done a lot of schedule content, obviously. We've talked about the schedule. We've predicted the schedule. We've analyzed the schedule, the advantages, the disadvantages, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to take a different approach on the schedule, a more historical approach. I wanted to kind of just think about the teams that the Cowboys are going to play, and this has, to be very clear here, nothing to do with the games that we're going to see this coming season. But, you know, we've all seen the Cowboys play classic games against some of these teams and memorable games against some of these teams, not so memorable games, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to kind of run through every opponent that the Cowboys are playing in the order of the schedule, obviously, and just kind of discuss the major memories that we have of the Cowboys and that team. And so to do something like that, I know of nobody better than a great friend of mine, Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan. Bobby is awesome. If you have followed me for a long time, you've heard him and I do tons of podcasts together. So Bobby was kind enough to give us some time. You can check Bobby out on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX. You can hear him on the home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, and see him all over their properties and everything that they're doing. The folks at The Fan are great friends of ours. So without much further ado, let's go ahead and get to it. Make sure to subscribe here to the Blog of the Voice podcast network. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating, write a review. Those things help us out. Programming note, everything is the same. Everything's good. Later on today, you get a new episode of Riled Up with Roy White and Tom Ryle. Tomorrow, new episodes of Girls Talking Boys with Kelsey Charles and Meg Murray, as well as The Star Seminar with Danny Phantom and Rabble Rouser. On Saturday, a new episode of Cowboys Hoy, un nuevo episodio de Cowboys Hoy with Mauricio Rodriguez. I am working on my Spanish still. It's a work in progress. I really hope to be able to do some stuff this coming season. And on Sunday, a new episode of The World's Team with Meg Murray and Paul Stewart. So let's go ahead and get to it. Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan joins us next right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by the one, the only, the effervescent. I don't know if that's the word, but I learned the word from him, so I learned it incorrectly. Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan, among the many hats he wears, including a Baltimore Orioles one for reasons I still don't know. It is Robert Beltmaker. Bobby, thank you for joining us here at Blog of the Boys.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not on the stream here, so you can't see. I'm actually wearing an Atlanta Braves hat today, and it's just because I like it. And the word is effervescent, not effervescent.
I messed up the word. I'm forgetting what it was. not inebriated. I used to mess up like the word. There was a word I used to like think was so I had the wrong idea. It's going to come to me in a moment and I'll tell you what it is. But that I've messed up words pretty badly before. It's kind of the main point. Just like I'm doing.
Were you one of those guys who said instead of like saying blessing in disguise, would you say, well, it's just a blessing in the sky? Were you like that person who would like mix up idioms and not hear them correctly?
No, but I do. It does bother me when people say should of, like OF, instead of should have.
Oh, that's annoying.
Or when people don't understand for all intents and purposes. Like when people write like for all intensive purposes. It's for all intents and purposes.
My wife, when we got together, she used to say, she was one, and I had to point it out to her, and I don't feel bad about it. She used to be one of those ones who would say escape.
Ooh.
Instead of escape.
Yeah, that's bad. I remembered the word. I used to say like people live vicariously through people. I used so that's
hilarious. Cause I don't even know where you pulled that letter out from.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. Anyway, so
that was a genuine reaction. Thanks for the laugh.
The reason Bobby is here today is
to laugh at you.
Right. Nobody has discussed the Dallas Cowboys schedule in any capacity. So we're going to go through it game by game and predict it.
We go dangerous, man. We touch the things that the mainstream liberal media won't.
In all seriousness, obviously there's been a lot of schedule talk looking towards the future, so to speak. But what Bobby and I are going to do, because we like to look at the past, we're going to go through the schedule and just talk about the last good game, the last best game that the Cowboys have played against each of those teams. And you can define best, good, whatever, like most memorable, like however you want. It's up to you, Bobby. Do you understand the rules?
Yes.
Okay. So, and again,
I'm going to be fast and loose with these terms, though. Right. Like my own definition is not going to be consistent.
You can define also recent memory however you want. Like it could be in the last 5 years, the Dak era, like whatever you want. It's up to you. By the way, do you realize that the Dak era is now as old as the time, or is now as long as the time that Tony Romo and Dez Bryant were teammates, with Tony Romo as the starting quarterback?
I did not.
That's crazy.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's almost as fascinating as the note I gave you yesterday about Fox broadcast, and you were like, that's so stupid.
That's up to you if you want to share it.
I don't feel like sharing it because you made me feel dumb.
I didn't think it wasn't dumb. You weren't wrong. I just wasn't that interested in it. But okay. Anyway,
y'all hear what a great friend he is.
The last great, memorable, good, whatever Cowboys game against the Buccaneers has to be the season opener a year ago, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a heartbreaker. One that they honestly, to be honest, they had no business being in that game like they were. They had all those turnovers, and some of them were like really fortunate, like DeMonte Casey punching out the ball like right ahead of the end zone on Chris Godwin, and you know, Greg Zuerlein actually making a kick in the clutch. There were things about that game that they shouldn't have even been in contention.
People will remind you he also missed one in the clutch. So yeah,
he did miss one in the clutch, but he made one, and he made the go ahead one, and so there was that. And everybody else, I think, likes to go back to, that was pass interference on Jordan Lewis. That shouldn't have been, you know, that was pass interference on Chris Godwin pushing off of Jordan Lewis. That Brady shouldn't have gotten that. We should have won that game. There's always the, you know, we were screwed narrative that comes out of every loss. And so, but that was a good game. It was one they honestly shouldn't have won, probably. But it was a good game nonetheless. And I think it set the tone for everybody. We all felt like that was a moral victory.
Right.
Like, oh, maybe this team's better than we thought.
Well, and then all hell broke loose because Gallup had the calf strain. D-Law had the injury right after. Lyle was suspended. Like, it was just complete and total chaos for like 10 days afterwards because it was a long week.
Yeah, and then Randy Gregory got COVID. We didn't have any
defensive ends. But that led to Micah, you know, being, you know, used in a very fascinating way.
We learned a ton about Micah Parsons and Terrence Steele in week two of that year.
Right. Okay, so we could do, like, this is why I wanted to do this exercise with you, because we could do this for like 5 hours, but we're not gonna do that. But quickly, I do think the Cowboys have played some like seismic games against the Bucs in recent memory, if we really think about it. So it was in 2018 that they won the division against the Buccaneers. After getting skunked,
big smooth picking up the fumble and rumbling like 80 yards for a touchdown.
Right. But
sorry, God.
There was a swipe there that happened. That's important to know. That was 2018. 2016, they played the Bucs in an additional sixth primetime game that was flexed into Sunday Night Football, and that was Zeke's jumping in the kettle. Like, that was the birth of that, you know, meme and moment or whatever. So like, again, kind of,
that was also, I believe, if not the first, it was one of the few interceptions Byron Jones had in his Cowboys career.
Right. And it was a Hail Mary. It was lame.
Yeah, it was a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. It was lame, but that's the only way. Byron was only getting interceptions if it was a last second Hail Mary or an instance where he should have gone down and he didn't. Washington.
You know, I know people are OGs if they remember that. So I appreciate that you do. So
you that reference, I love it. I love you guys. If you get that reference today in 2022, then you really have followed along with us for a while.
That was, I think, like, that might have been like Joe McCoy's like second or third primetime game ever, by the way, that particular, because it was flexed into Sunday Night Football. 2015 was
terrible.
Right. But the year before, 2015, was the Jeff Heath two interception game in Tampa. That looked like the first game they were going to finally win without Romo, and then they didn't, obviously. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. What was that? There was like how did that one end? That one ended with an interception, it was a desperation.
Yeah. It was Matt Castle just like throwing up this duck that like was whatever. But, so that was 2015, 2012.
Do you think he yelled YOLO as he threw it?
I think he did. 2012. I feel like we forget that this happened and it was born in this game, and that it kind of got swept under the rug. Remember when Greg Schiano's Bucks would like charge when another team would take a knee and everybody was all upset about it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that happened in 2012 when they visited 18, although at the time it was Cowboys Stadium. And the last one that I thought was kind of important, speaking of backup quarterbacks, was when the Tony Romo-less Cowboys beat the Buccaneers in 2008. And I always thought that they got really lucky that they did not get called for a penalty when Brady James took his helmet off in celebration after a defensive stand at the very end of that game.
Yes, I recall that as well. And not even mentioning the Thanksgiving coming out party for Romo.
That's true, too. I thought they were going to play him on Thanksgiving this year, and that would have been a lot of fun to revisit. That was the original Salvation Army celebration, of course. Shout out to one of our favorite players, too. Okay, let's move on, because, again, we can't do that for every single one, because it's going to take too much time. But the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The next answer is really easy, and they don't play him as often.
The Bengals.
You want to give yours first, or you want me to go first?
I will go first. I think everybody remembers.
We're going to say the same line.
Well, this wasn't like a good significant, but it was very emotional when Dallas went to Cincinnati in 2012 after the Jerome Brown tragedy. And mm-hmm. It was lots of emotion. And that was kind of a dramatic end and win. And, you know, Andy Dalton was a somewhat good player at the time. So that's the one I kind of first think of. But I do also think of 2016, their last visit. That was the first like big Zeke run of, and not that there have been a lot. Like a 60-yard touchdown that he had, like just straight up the middle, untouched. So I kind of think of that one. And then, of course, like I also think, and I don't want to go long on every single one, but last year everybody said like, oh, the Bears are going to start Andy Dalton so he can get revenge on the Bengals in Week 2. And I kept saying the whole time, I feel like, why? Like, he beat the Bengals as a Cowboy in 2020. So you got to throw Andy Dalton's return up there as well.
I think that's fair. I'll throw out one different one, because I think the one that makes the most sense is the Josh Brenn game. Like, that's the biggest one. Right. But I'll say that one that we don't talk enough about, and it was a decent game, and a lot of people probably just don't remember it, 1994, Bengals-Cowboys at Riverfront Stadium, and that was the first start for Larry Allen at tackle with Eric Williams after the car accident.
That's a really good you know, kind of pull, and you went a lot deeper. Like, most of my answers are 21st century. So respect.
Yeah. Mine were going to be too. I recalled that, cause I used to, one of the big ways I became a Cowboys fan early on was, we had a buddy of ours, a family friend who worked at Public Storage. And when people would leave their storage unit and not claim their stuff after 30 days, they get to keep it. And one of the things in there was like VHS tapes, like this large VHS tape collection of the 92, 93, and 94 season, like every game the Cowboys played. And so I became a fan in like the late 90s, really watching those tapes. And I remember them making such a big deal about, oh, geez, this rookie Larry Allen, he's going to have to start in place of, you know, Eric Williams. How's this going to go?
Okay, that's a good answer. All right, let's move on quickly from the Bengals because I mean they're the Bengals. What is the Giants game? This was maybe the part of the conversation I was most interested in. It was like the division rivalries. Like, what's the one that jumps to the top of your memory?
So, I mean, in terms of significance, it's Dak breaking his leg, obviously, in 2020. Right. That was a big deal. But in terms of, like, the last great game they played.
Also, just to bake in there, that was also Garrett's return. Like, that element gets, you know, kind of lost.
Yes,
because it
was
so
forgotten.
Right. But continue.
So I'm going to go with the 2018 finale, where didn't have a ton to play for, but it was such a like a net ending with the touchdown to Cole Beasley and the Blake Jarwin coming out party. And I think a lot of people feeling like, wow, Dak is actually like slinging this thing around the yard. And it's not even like just the Amari Cooper show this time, like it had been since they had traded for him. I think it had everybody feeling like, oh wow, this might be like, you know, the page kind of turning, like Dak can take over even a game that doesn't mean a ton. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the last game that really stands out as a significant one.
That's fair. My mind went to like moments. I guess if I had to pick a game, it might be the 2007 opener. That was awesome and thrilling and just like incredible.
That's great.
But the 2008 second game, that was on Sunday Night Football. That kept their season alive and put life into the Ravens game that they would ultimately lose. You could go
with T.O. taking a shot at Ed Werder in the post-game interview. Remember that.
You could go the Cowboys Stadium opener. Obviously, you could do that too. Like that's a seismic moment. You could go Romo's injury in 2010. You know, like that's a you know, up there as well. That's really in contention. When I think negative, I think the JPP block. There's obviously again a lot of answers here. I don't really think of the second game that season, the regular season finale. Like that's of the three 8-8 like cherries on top. That's the one I think of the least. And then I think of a lot in 2012, the game at home that they lost when Dez's pinky was out of bounds. I think of that game a lot too. But there really hasn't been a game at home for them with juice against the Giants in a while. And so maybe like I'm kind of pumped for Thanksgiving. I know this is the one that we're talking about on the schedules on the road, but like maybe the 2013 opener when they had six turnovers or whatever it was. There was the 2016 opener when Terrence Williams, you know, didn't understand how time worked, which was unfortunate, but yeah, just kind of a boring rivalry. Like, I don't think we give that enough, like that idea enough life. It's kind of been a boring rivalry for a while.
Yeah. I mean, for a while it has been, but I mean, there's still some highlights in it. Ones you didn't mention, 2015, the opener, that was a big deal. That was the Romo drive.
How dare you forget Lance Stenberg's go ahead name. How dare you forget Lance
Stenberg. And that's also where Dez broke his foot. And that kind of was like the beginning of the end, right? Like right after he signed the big deal and everybody's like, wow, here we go. Like he was never really the same after that moment.
Right.
And so that was a big deal.
I remember the Pat Doney video of him in the like compression shorts in the locker room, like celebrating, you know what I mean? After the crazy comeback mm-hmm. win. But yeah, you're right. That was the beginning of the end.
2000 and what was it? It was 06, which was the debut of Romo. That was Bledsoe getting benched at halftime. And right. Romo coming out and playing the second half against the Giants, and the next week was the Panthers game.
Well, and then of course the second matchup like, that year was Martin Gramatica, and that was such an awesome game. But yeah.
Yeah. Then you've got the Bill Parcells clinching his NFC East title with against Jesse Palmer mm-hmm. in 2003, Mr. Bachelor, and then like the Emmett shoulder game, and like we got mm-hmm. plenty of other games. But yeah, in recent history, it's been a little dry.
My answer for Washington is probably the first win in the Dak era, the start in Washington. That was when Josh Norman like peanut punched the ball away from Zeke. Like I was depressed in that moment. Like I thought like, oh no, like, because at that point you're like, you know, you're staring 0-2 in the face and like, you know, nobody knew what Dak was. And like, it's like, when's Romo coming back? We're reliving 2015 all over again, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I know he didn't throw a touchdown in that game, but you know, for him to get in the end zone was like this big deal and this big, like kind of sigh of relief. Other than that, like the only other thing I really think about, speaking of Dez, was when he caught, when he broke the record against them on Thursday Night Football in 2017. That's it. Like they're, you know, again, kind of like, I guess I do also think about, and I think about your tweet a lot. The Brett Maher,
Andy, you know, McCard.
The Brett Maher clang off the upright in 2018, when you tweeted out like, this was the sound of the Cowboys trading for Amari Cooper. Cause it happened literally the next day.
Yeah. And honestly, maybe it's different. Maybe things go down there. I think a couple of other Dak's rookie year, there were a couple of big things. One, that was the first victory he ever got was against Washington in 2016. That was a big one. You also remember Zeke fumbled in that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Josh Norman punched it out. Yeah.
I know, but there was discussion about, like, more specifically, like, Zeke being, like, a fumbler. And then that went away for a long time up until 2020.
He got benched, remember, for – yeah. At the time, was it Alfred Morris already at the time?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, right. It would have been Alfred Morris. Yeah. And then the second game of that year was another big one, because that was just a really tough. Was that one Thanksgiving too in 2016?
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving. That was Thanksgiving, color rush against their yellow uniforms. Yeah.
That was just one of Dak's steadiest, most even-handed performances of the year. And it was also, I believe, the first time he was playing somebody for a second time. And there had been this chatter about wait till the league gets film on him. And like that game could have been used as an example of like, here's a team that got a second crack at him, and he still like kept a steady hand and kept the team in contention. And so I think about that game a lot. And then obviously, gosh, what year was it? Was it the Romo start where they blocked the kick, and then they got Washington got a last second field goal? What year was that?
Oh, that was 2012. No, I do think of.
No, wasn't that 05 or 06, the second game?
The second game in 06, I don't recall, but
Nick Novak made a field goal at the very end. That was the one where D'Angelo Hall, like they blocked one and D'Angelo Hall, like ran it back a little bit. That was Mike Vanderjagt kicking for them that day.
Right. Along those lines, was it the 2009 opener? Was it Sunday night in Washington? And was it Tashard Choice that had the fumble at the end of the first half that they returned? You know what I'm talking about?
They did 09. They didn't open against them. When did they open against them?
It might've been 2010, the season from hell. It might've been 2010. And then, I'm not going to look this up. Like that was part of I committed to myself.
I'll tell you one that sticks out to me. I believe it was it 04, 05, where Brunell hit Santana Moss on those two deep balls.
Oh, yeah. I think it was
05. And that was a big deal because that made people, like, that was the big come-to-Jesus moment for, like, Roy Williams can't cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that became, like, that was a – I remember listening at the time to the Cowboys postgame show, and that was the first words out of the mouth of the great Norm Hitzkiss, where he said, he's like, fans, we have to deal with something. He's like, Roy Williams cannot cover. And like, that was just, I remember that being the talking point where it's like, damn it. We drafted a guy in the top 10 and he can't cover.
We are not doing very well and not taking a long time with these. I will say one last thing on Washington. We didn't mention this, the DeMarco Murray game winner or effective game winner in 2013.
Great man.
Right. That was an incredible moment. Although that was, short-lived obviously with Romo's back injury. Okay. The Rams.
Yep.
Like this one I had trouble with. Like I can't think of like a great, like if I have to answer, it's the 2014 game early on in that season when they fell down 21-0 and then they came back, committed to run the ball and won.
Proud Brian brought us.
Yep.
That was proud Brian.
But that's it. Like,
no, I think there's actually a lot of hit. Well, I mean, there's like the playoff game. That was a big deal.
That's not like a memorable moment for me. Like that was, and even that, like, that's not among.
Okay.
My,
okay.
Like,
okay.
Most...
Okay. You want memorable, well, memorable, no, but, like, or I just, really,
I just want to say like that playoff loss is not like of the every playoff loss that like, cuts deep. That one cuts like the most shallow of all the deep playoff losses to me. I don't know if I'm alone in that. Like it doesn't cut the same way the other ones do.
Yeah, but I mean, because I think it's just because everybody felt like the Rams were just so much better.
Right.
Anyway, and so, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. I would say we had in 07 the big blowout, 35-7. That was the famous Romo snap going over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then picking that up and running back. And there obviously there's a bunch of, like, playoff games in the 70s and stuff like that we can reference. But I'll say I'm going to go with consequential. Like it was a beatdown. It was great. But 2019, remember, that's where Dak hurt his shoulder and it was screwed up for the Philly game the next week and ultimately cost him the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was like Sean Lee had a pick six in that game? Or was it definitely an interception he returned for like a great
Later interviewed him afterwards with blood on his uniform.
Right. And that was ugly uniform because they wore navy and then the Rams still had to like, they had those awkward like navy helmets with the white thing because of the NFL rule, how they couldn't change. Like, it was really just too much navy happening there. That was when like that breathed like the last bit of life into the Garrett era.
But I would say I'd say in terms of being consequential, that was a big deal. Cause that, if his shoulder is not messed up, then they win the next week, I think, in Philly.
That's a good point. Okay. Speaking of Philly, week six, the Cowboys traveled to Philly. Couple of ones. I'm just going to rip them off. In 07, when Dallas went to Philly and T.O. scored and then like flapped. That was so sick. That was like, I mean, like talk about like Cowboys, like adrenaline, like that. That's up there for me.
That was wonderful.
Other end of the spectrum, 44-6 for obvious reasons. 2009, back-to-back week 17 playoff game. Obviously, that's up. There's a lot of like Philly moments we could choose from. I do remember, 2015, the game at AT&T Stadium, you know, Jordan Hicks having the defensive score after having hurt Romo was just like a really annoying thing. Even in 2014, positive side, the Dez Nolan Carroll game, like that is up there for me.
They still signed Nolan Carroll.
I think the answer is 2016, the very first Dak Wentz game, Jason Witten overtime, the fake punt that Chris Jones ran. Like, I mean, it was Nirvana all the way around.
I think that's a great answer. I think the electricity of like Coop's three touchdown game against them, though,
that's a good point.
Dak in the fourth quarter and overtime was basically perfect, and just it was absurd. And that shot's gonna live on for forever. Of after he scores the touchdown in overtime, how he takes his helmet off and is just like, you know, pointing down at the ground, and D-Law is like hyping him up. Like that was such a classic. And then there was the moment of like, we're gonna blow off Scott Linehan, and we're just gonna do you know what we need to do here. I mean, that was and it was the same score, 29-23 in overtime.
Right,
and so. It was that was a big moment, I think, where it's like, all right, the Cowboys are kind of back. And then obviously the 2019 game, that's significant. They lose 17-9, not only because Dak's hurt and everything, but you remember that was also like, why is Amari Cooper not in the biggest moments of the game?
Right.
Yeah. And that was like the first moment where things seemed a little off in a relationship that ultimately soured. And then obviously last year, the 51-26, that was just a mauling.
I will say in 2019, the other Amari factor was the, like, he disappears on the road. Like that was in the middle of all that, which was, you know, like, again, it was just like a lot of funk. One last bit here.
And there's one more. There's one more.
Okay. I had one more too.
The Jessica Simpson game.
Oh, how can we, that? Well, you could, that game has two names. It's either the Jessica Simpson game or the Brian Westbrook game. Cause it's the same game.
Yeah. Cause Brian Westbrook like goes, but no, that is the Jessica Simpson game. What was he? 13 of 36 that game, Romo.
Yeah. It was awful.
I mean, was it the next year with Jeff Garcia, or was the 07 game also Jeff Garcia?
So the Jessica Simpson game was 07. The Jeff Garcia game was the year before on Christmas Day in 06.
That's what it was. Yeah, right. Where he just kind of like turned back the clock. But the Jessica Simpson game, that kind of set things in motion. I mean, honestly, we don't even get the, you know, that's my quarterback crying moment without that game.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I agree. The last thing I was going to add, and this is negative end of the spectrum as well, the 2017 game, the like party, the Wentz, Jay Ajayi, like everybody just like dunking on them, that at the time was the worst loss in AT&T Stadium's history, like obviously for the Cowboys. And again, like just the like the total irony of the situation, it was, and you will call this the night Jerry was honored for going into the Hall of Fame a few months prior. So like again, like it just like fully lived up to the meme in a crazy way. But okay, the Lions.
Yeah, and that was also the real quick. That was also, I remember that distinctly because I remember a coach show that I had to go to the winning locker room, and I remember one of the Eagles coaches walking by and looking at somebody and saying, "We made them quit."
Right.
And I was I feel like that was one of those things where everybody
right.
had always said, yeah, everybody had always said like the Garrett teams didn't quit. And it was like, well, this team just thinks you quit.
Right. I remember that conversation that we had. Okay. The Lions, the playoff game, like
this has been a low key decent rivalry. Like right. they played some good games.
So just like blitzing through them that I recall, there was in 06, they lost, speaking of that year, to the Lions at home and John Kitna, and that prevented them from winning the division. That was week 17. And they were already a wild card team, but they lost and gave the division to Philly. So that was 06, 07, when they went to Detroit the week before the Jessica Simpson game. I think Witten set the record at the time for the most.
Witten had like 90 catches in that game. It was absurd.
So that was 07. And then 08, 09, 10, whatever. Nothing really, you know, all too consequential. But was the Bobby Carpenter game 2010 or 2011?
Oh, that was 10.
I think it was 11. I don't remember. But the Bobby Carpenter game where everybody's like, Romo floated the pick to Bobby Carpenter as he was in his wedding. And like that birthed some insane takes.
That was 11.
Right. Okay. So then you've got the Bobby Carpenter game in 11. You've got the Calvin Johnson, Jeff Heath, Brandon Carr game in 13 in Detroit, which also was the Matthew Stafford last second punking them game. And then you've got the 2014 playoff game, which was awesome, whatever, Anthony Hitchens. Then a low key, like great memory was the day after Christmas in 16. And remember when Zeke had his like whatever it was like 79-yard touchdown, and then he did everybody's celebration. He like threw up the X and did the sauce. It was so cool. That was awesome. And so I mean, but ever since then it's kind of been. Oh, and then there was the 18 game winner that Dak floated to Zeke. When the Lions were their awful grade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the Brett Maher game winner. The 2019 game where Dak just like was playing absurd. It started out rough. Like the Lions were up in the first quarter and like Dak ends out finishing with like 450 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And that would have been like, I mean, that season was up and down the whole time, 2019, but that could have been like a real killer for them had they lost that game. Mm-hmm. And he stepped up big. That was also a big Randall Cobb game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, I agree with you. The Lions are a low key, good rival. The Cowboys are the Lions' last playoff win. Like that gets forgotten. 1991. Shout out Tony Casillas and Barry Sanders. Okay, we ready to move on to the Bears?
I didn't forget. Bears. You gotta say it.
To be honest, listener, Bobby told me before we started recording that he did not really like have one for the Bears.
Like, okay. The best one I can come up with is like 30 years ago where they win the game before they go to the Lions and lose, where Tom Waddle, like for the Bears, is like a one man show of offense. And like, they show him doing smelling salts on the sideline, 'cause he's playing with like a damn concussion.
Right.
But they ultimately win that game with Steve Berline and get to the next round. And it's like, man, these Cowboys are like really starting to put it together. So that's one that stands out. But other than that, like, I mean, no, not really.
Well, you've got Kervin Richards game, which was negative, but that was the next
or Kervin Richards.
And
you got 96 losing to Dave Wonstadt,
right?
Getting blown out in the opener in 96.
There was Thanksgiving,
boring, man.
Was it Thanksgiving 04 against the Bears?
Where Drew Henson got benched at halftime and Julius Jones played great.
Well, don't forget Thomas Jones, please. Forget about that. Like, people talk so much about like brothers in the NFL. Julius and Thomas were, you know, they were a pair.
Julius wasn't very good.
Wow. How dare you? Anyway, the best running.
Five interceptions for Rhett Grossman. Five interceptions for Grossman. No, seven. That was a big one.
Yes, but my like the most recent memories, like the last decade, I guess, are all pretty bad. Just coincidentally, like, again, like kind of like the Lions are a low key rival. The Bears are kind of a low key, like thorn in the Cowboys side. There was the 2012 Monday night game where Jay Cutler went off and there was all the Romo interceptions and turnovers and everything. That was 2012. 2013 was Monday Night Football again. That was the like 1 degree game or whatever it was, where they scored on the opening drive and then just got pulverized. That was, can you name the Bears head coach that night in 2013?
2013? Oh, no. I don't know. Was it Mark Trestman?
It was, with Josh McCown at quarterback, not Jay Cutler. 2014 was also primetime. It was Thursday Night Football. That was Cole Beasley's multi-touchdown game. I was at that game. And that was Brandon Marshall's last game as a Bear. That was kind of – that was the first, like, they play on the Thursday after Thanksgiving game, you know, which was kind of cool. So that was a lot of fun. 2016 was Dak's first win at home at AT&T Stadium and his first passing touchdown. Remember, he threw it to Dez and there was the, like, I wouldn't want it to go into anybody else. Do you know who started at quarterback for the Bears that night? 2016.
I don't, I can't recall.
Brian Hoyer. And then the only other one that comes to mind for me outside of that is really negative is the Mitchell Trubisky, Jalen celebrating with a member of the Bears, like, in excruciating pain on the floor in the end zone.
Wasn't that also Jalen waving the camera off, like, hey, don't film us?
Right. That was that night, that very famous gif. Kevin Gray loves to use that. But that was also the night, and I don't know how well you recall this, but that it was that night that James
I don't
Slater,
recall it, because if you'll recall, I was texting you and telling you that we had to take my wife to the ER that night, and I didn't watch the game.
I do remember that now. I'm happy it worked out. But
thanks for bringing up terrible memories by having me do this discussion with you.
That night was when Jane reported that Urban Meyer was like an option or like a level of interest, and everybody thought that they were going to fire Garrett the next day, and they didn't, obviously, but they did. Or
I remember texting with Jane about like how she was going to be breaking that story, and I was like, oh, here we go.
So good times with the Bears. Let's move on. The Packers, I mean, Dez caught it, 3rd and 20. You could go Devontae like back to back over Jordan Lewis in 2017. Though Dak's win at Lambeau in 2016, throwing his first interception after shaking Brett Favre's hand at halftime. There's also the famous Lyle Collins video of him like leading for, was it Darren McFadden, was at Green Bay during Lyle's rookie season.
Was also Robert Turbin.
Right.
He was considered, it was like, oh, why don't we get this Robert Turbin guy some carries after he scored a touchdown in that game?
But yeah, I mean, the Packers ones are obvious and they're all negative. There's also the
Matt Flynn.
There's also, oh man, Matt Flynn. There's also the Sunday night win in 08 at Lambeau, the Cowboys' first ever win.
Which that was, yeah, 08 and 07 were big, especially 07. 07 was a big win because it was like, who's the challenger to the Patriots in the NFC? Is it going to be Dallas or Green Bay? And that was considered like the measuring stick. Mm-hmm. And Dallas throttled them. And that was the Aaron Rodgers coming out party when Nate Jones, who's now an official in the NFL, by the way, Nate Jones coming off the nickel blitz, hits Brett Favre's elbow and knocks him out of the game. And so that was a big one. 08 was a big one. That was Pac-Man Jones scooping up the fumble early and running around like a madman.
Also, the honestly, matchup. The matchup in 07, actually, that was the first Thursday after Thanksgiving when Aaron Rodgers came in for Favre. That was like, who's going to be the one seed in the NFC? We still don't glorify this moment enough. T.O.'s popcorn in his face mask. Like, literally one of the greatest sort of like, you know, exclamation points on the beginning of a career. You know, like the whole, like the fact that that was the culmination of Get Your Popcorn Ready was unbelievable.
It was pretty great. You've also got, I mean, this will be a big one, I bet, that we remember regardless. Like, it's going to have so many narratives and everything else to it. Right. Yeah, this will be a big one. 2016, that was kind of like a little bit like people finally acknowledging like, okay, Dak's for real. He just went into Lambeau and they crushed Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And so that was also the David Irving coming out party where he had the three forced fumbles and one NFC Defensive Player of the Week. So we had that one. 2019 was like, I think the first real moment where we're like, this team is kind of a mess. Cause that was after that was the second loss. They lost who'd they lose the first game of the season to? That was New Orleans. And then they come back and they play Green Bay and it's just a mess early with the ball bouncing off of Amari Cooper's shoulder pad on a drive. It looked like they were going to score and going down big. And you had the whole Za'Darius Smith faking cramps the whole game and pissing and, the Cowboys
and like
off.
And clapping at Dak and the little like John that was happening. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that was the first moment where it's like, oh, this team's kind of bipolar. And then the next week they lose to the Jets and it's like, oh, this team's an absolute mess.
Right. Okay. The Vikings, speaking of Brett Favre, the first game I think, and speaking of Jane again, was the
Hail Mary game.
Well, the 19 loss on Sunday Night Football, which of course they would lose to Kirk Cousins on primetime. Speaking of Jane and arguments that were floating around this week, but afterwards, like the day after or whatever it was, when Garrett like trashed Tavon Austin, that is, and just kind of threw him under the bus for the way he did not call for a fair catch, you know, on that last punt, like that was really like when the ship was taken on water. The fact that Garrett like threw a player under the bus and then Jane kind of challenged him again in the following week and in all the discussions and whatnot, that's up there. I mean, I think you have to put
that I just want to say real quick. I want to say real quickly about that game. That is the day that the narrative of Zeke is the engine died. Cause you remember they were on a drive down the field and then they took the ball out of Dak's hands in the red zone, decided to hand it to Zeke and the drive ended. And everybody's like, why did you take the ball out of your best player's hands? And it's like, did we just get to the point where we acknowledge he's the best player?
I forget what his stat line was. I know I've tweeted it before, but that drive by Dak that you're talking about was very a la Romo Lance Dunbar. Although there was like no Lance Dunbar, like, you know, it was all like, you know, Amar, you know, it was all like legitimate pass catchers, not just like a check down.
Yeah, he got him right down into position. Right. And then that's what set up the punt to Tavon.
Right. Well, he was like 4 of 6 for like 79 yards on that drive alone. Like I'm going off memory, but like it was nuts. And like, I remember thinking, and I'm sure you'll agree, like mid that drive thinking like, this is Dak's like MVP moment. Like this is the drive that like people will remember that will have won him MVP. And then you're right. Like they just handed off to Zeke twice in a row and just like completely kill it. But yeah, that's a good point. I think you have to put the Cooper Rush game up there. Andy Dalton, and you mentioned Dak's first win against Kirk Cousins. I know I've tweeted this too. The last three Cowboys quarterbacks who have won games for the franchise all won their first game as a road start against a team started by Kirk Cousins. Dak in 2016 with Kirk's Washington team, Andy Dalton in Minnesota with Kirk's Vikings in 2020, and Cooper Rush last year with Kirk's Vikings again.
Look at that. So the Vikings are a good luck charm. What you're saying is that
I'm saying Kirk. Ben DiNucci's in, like being, start in, that game. Being in Kirk's house is a good luck charm if you are a Dallas Cowboys quarterback starting for the first time. If Ben DiNucci had started in Minnesota instead of in Philadelphia in 2020, tides would have been very different. That's all I'm saying.
I would, you kind of mentioned the Dalton game there. There was also later on Dak's rookie year, that 17-15 where they really won ugly.
Yeah.
That was just a gross game, but that was a big road victory for them.
That was the Mike Zimmer wasn't there game, right? Like, cause that was the like peak his eye issues game.
Yes.
So that was wild.
That they also, 96 where they win the 95-96 season, they crushed the Vikings in the playoff game at Texas Stadium and then go on to lose to the Panthers the next week.
There was also
a lot of those
Adrian Peterson's first
the
game
Hail Mary at Texas Stadium. Like we said.
Well, yeah, but Adrian Peterson in 07 when I think it was Pat Watkins who blocked a field goal and they just like, cause that was when like Adrian Peterson was on fire and it was like, oh, he's coming to Texas Stadium, blah, blah, you know, whatever. And everybody really knew that the best, you know, local kid to wear 28 to want to play for the Dallas Cowboys was Tyson Thompson. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. that's up there too. I think you have to throw up the playoff loss too in 2009. Although see like that, I put that game in the same box as the Rams loss 9 years later. Like that one doesn't cut me as deep. I don't know why.
Because you knew they should have lost. Like that was a game nobody thought they were better than Minnesota. But also you're forgetting, of course, 3 catches, 3 touchdowns on Thanksgiving for Randy Moss.
Sure, sure. Good point. Good point. Yeah, not a lot of
Troy Aikman lit it up that day.
That's true. Okay. Let's move on. We already did the Giants. That's our week 12 opponent. So, you know, whatever, the Colts, this is an interesting one. I have a few. So
you can go the 42-7 beat down
in 14, which won
in 2014.
Division.
That was a big one. I mean, honestly, the biggest game is probably when they defeated the undefeated Colts and it was like, oh, Romo's legit.
Well,
and
that was at Texas Stadium. That was also Romo's first start at Texas Stadium as well. And yeah, they beat the undefeated Colts. Incidentally, Jim Nance on the call. So lots of like future, you know, vibes in the air, whatever. Also in 2010,
immaculate.
When they went to, at that point, it was already Lucas Oil, right? It was not the RCA Dome. Yeah, it's definitely Lucas Oil.
Yeah, overtime game. Hitting an out-duel Peyton Manning.
Well, and Sean Lee, rookie Sean Lee, had two picks that day.
Four of them.
Right. Very important kind of game for like the future of Sean Lee, I think, there. That was cool. And then 14, like they're, you know, 18 was this like forgotten game. And I've said this many times, but they got skunked 23-0. And I was in no way concerned. Like,
23.
I very, very vividly remember like not at all being concerned because they had just won the Amari overtime game the week before against Philly. And it really felt like they were like, okay, this is our letdown game. And then we'll go crush the Bucks, like RJ and Bobby said, next week and win the division.
And so, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
Colts kind of boring. No, you know, low key, the Texans.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I will say when I texted, I don't know if you remember this, RJ, remember me texting you when they announced the Colts were going to be on Hard Knocks? And I said, the Colts are a top five boring team in football. Like, why would anybody watch Hard Knocks with them?
I remember. And they are really boring. And I don't know that you've heard this. Like, I have this take a lot on the SB Nation NFL show. Chris Ballard has sort of made me like Carson Wentz. I know that's a weird thing to say. But, like, I think it's the lamest thing that Chris Ballard is, like, so openly, you know, like, just trampling on Carson Wentz in the name of saving himself. You know, like, that is super big loser energy to me. Like, I'm not a fan of Chris Ballard. So, but yeah. Okay, the Texans. It has to be the 14 Romo spin, you know, Terrence Williams touchdown. Devin Street had a moment in that
game.
Doesn't
have to be.
Why? What else? I mean, okay.
All the games genuinely, like, really all but like the 2010 game have it. You got the 2002 where they lose the very first game of the Texans' existence. You've got 06, that's Romo's first touchdown pass, and T.O. scoring three touchdowns in that
also,
game.
Also, that was also like T.O.'s, that was T.O.'s, like, let me do the celebration on the star for the first time as a Cowboy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, and that was the, what was it? It was deep. Romo hits a deep pass, like an impossible pass to Sam Hurd, and then he throws like a 2-yard touchdown pass to Owens for like his third of the game. And then you've got 2018, which was the overtime game where that was Jason Garrett. When they asked why he didn't go for on fourth and one, he said, well, it was a long one. That was a big deal. And that was also the miracle Dak rolling out and throwing downfield to Tavon Austin. I mean, there was a lot about that game that was pretty big.
Also, the fourth and one was like beyond the 50-yard line. That's a really important detail, right? they punted beyond the 50 in overtime. That was also the we mentioned
into Texans territory.
Right.
When you say beyond, it makes it sound like outside.
Right. No. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. We mentioned Byron Jones and the interception he shouldn't have returned in Washington. But that was the DeAndre puts Byron in a blender game. Like, that was really bad. That was so bad.
I would say all those games, except I don't remember the 2010 game, to be honest. I couldn't tell you anything about the game. It's lost in my memory.
That was their first win, I think. Like, they were on the verge of like starting off 0-7 or something like that, and that win saved them. I remember like feeling like a small level of relief.
The third game of the week.
Right. Well, the last thing
like
about
the third game of
the
season.
Last thing about the 18 game is that was Rico Gathers had like a moment in that game, and it was like, whoa, this is happening. So obviously it didn't. So yeah, but the answer is 14 and JJ, and you know, like the part that we like don't really like talk about with that moment is like Tyron got woof beat like so bad, like that, you know, it's all about like Romo's spin, but it's like, man, Tyron got like cooked by JJ on that play. So yeah. All right. Okay. You were breaking up for a second, so I don't know what you said, but I'm going to assume it wasn't important.
Yeah, I want you to know. It's not that I'm talking over you on purpose as much. There's a little bit of a delay on this Zoom.
I think everybody already understood that, Bobby. The Jaguars.
Yeah, you didn't seem to. You've lost your temper too many times.
The Jaguars' answer is London, right? Like, that is really not a contest. Oh, I have one more nominee, though, but I'll accept yours before I go ahead.
Jaguars in London is a big deal, but 2018, they beat them down. That's before everybody realized the Jags were phonies from their AFC championship game run, where Cole Beasley went off. And then you've got the 06 game. That was T.O.'s first game.
That was their last trip to Jacksonville before this year, obviously.
Yeah, and they still have not, I don't think, they haven't won in Jacksonville yet.
They've never won, because that's their only game they've ever played there. So
that's the only city they haven't won in.
Right. So, they
haven't beat the Ravens, but they beat the Baltimore Colts.
Right. They beat the Ravens. They beat them in 16. That was a big deal. Remember when they beat them the week after
in Baltimore? Oh, no, in Baltimore.
No, sorry. My bad. Your delay messed my point up. Anyway, no, the point I was going to bring up was about that 18 game. You mentioned Cole Beasley that day, because this was like a mid-October game in 18. That was the first 100-yard performance by a Cowboys receiver on the season, because that was their infamous wide receiver by committee approach. That was Allen Hurns' opportunity for revenge, but he did not have the 100 yards. And I vividly remember... and I know we talked about this then in the locker room, after everybody was walking in, I was shooting the video of it, and I still have the video and I've tweeted out a million times, but you will recall again, the famous wide receiver by committee was super bad. And Tyrone Crawford walking into the locker room looked like through my soul into my phone camera and said, "Stop talking shit about our offense." It's like, Tyron,
you just,
y'all beat the Jaguars. Like, let's relax here. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
And wait, was it not the, what year? Was that the year they played? Was that the game Conor McGregor was at?
That was.
And they were all doing the Conor McGregor celebration. And
everybody was doing the strut. No, you're totally right. That was the Conor McGregor game. Wow. Look at that. 14.
It's all coming to us as we go along.
Just to like throw this out there, 14 was important because that was Romo had missed the week before, and there was like all this question, like, is he going to even go to London? Like, whatever, blah blah. So that was a big game. Like, that was a big, like, everything is still on track moment, I think, for the 14 Cowboys. So, okay. Well, since we've already talked about
18 was they lose. After the Amari trade, and it's like, wow, would you just make this trade for you? You guys still suck.
Right.
So you had that. 2006. There's one more that's significant. 2006, the 45-14 beatdown of the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even mentioned the Titans. I was bringing up the Titans. I hadn't even said the word Titans.
I thought that's what you're doing.
What I was going to say is, since we've already discussed the Jaguars
14.
And we're going in order of the schedule, we've already discussed the Eagles and the Commanders, which means the only team
Titans. I lost track. So when you said 14, I thought you're talking about the 14 Titans game.
Only team left is the Titans. Go ahead. Go off, King. What's your Titans point?
All right. 2018 was after the Coop trade. Everybody said, you suck. You're 3-5 now. And then they went on a run after that. That was a big deal. 2014, everybody thought they were terrible after they lost to the 49ers. Then Rolando McClain, like, balls out in that game. That one was a big one. And then 2006, by the way, are we going to reference Oilers games, or are we just doing Titans?
No, this is just Titans. I know where you're going in 2006, okay. Though. I know where you're going.
It's the week of the T.O. overdose.
Oh, dude, that's not where I was going. That was you're right.
That was the first game of people saying T.O. had tried to commit suicide during the week. That was that week.
Right. Terrell has 25 million reasons to be alive. Well, again, like a quote that isn't really
his statue.
Wow. That
lady, Kim, his handler.
I thought that quote was going to live on for like ever and ever and ever and ever. But like, I haven't heard that quote in a long time. But so there was that. You're right. That element. But that was also, I mentioned it, the Andre Garrod, Albert Haynesworth game in 2006.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was that. 2010. I only like this personally affects me. That was, I think, the second year of A&M playing Arkansas there. And I went that weekend. And A&M lost. And so then I went to the Cowboys Titans game and the Cowboys lost. And I remember my fantasy team losses because I remember like all the personal tragedy. And I remember the Rangers lost. Was it in the ALCS to the Blue Jays? Does that sound right? In 2010?
On 2010?
Yeah, 2010. Like ALCS.
No, 2010, the Rangers went to the World Series in 2010.
I know I didn't mean lost the series, but lost that game. Like
they would have lost to the Rays.
That's what it was. Okay. They lost a game that weekend. Like, my point is, like, it was nothing but like a loss, like, around me. You know what I mean? Like, A&M lost, Cowboys lost, the Rangers lost, like, nearby. Fan. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I think TCU lost that week. Like, it was nothing but like just loss perpetuating my existence in that moment. But that was 2010. 2014, you didn't touch on this. That was the birth, and this still like comes back every now and then, of the like, I don't even know if you can call it a meme as much as just like a photo of Dez being double covered, like right at the line of scrimmage. That was like
photo. where it looked like punk coverage.
Right, exactly. So that photo came from that 2014 game. That was also like, you know, DeMarco, you know, that like those wheels kind of taken off, whatever. That was a fun game, now that I think about it. But what you did not mention about the 18 game is, yes, it was Amari's first, like, his debut and he scored right on the opening drive, and it was like,
I know, I know what you're gonna say. It's the meme I made of Cole Beasley.
No, that wasn't what I was gonna say. But yeah, was it what Cole tried to throw a pass at the very end, and you, you put the Titanic music over
it? No, it wasn't the Titanic. It was the music from Chariots of Fire.
Oh, that's what it was. Dun, 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 dun. But no, that wasn't what I was going to go with. What I was going to say is that was Jason Witten's return, because it was Monday Night Football. And there was, remember they, like, and what was amazing was, because it was a Monday, that was, I remember this very vividly. It was Monday, November 5th. And it was the 1 year anniversary of Tony Romo's return the previous year, when the Cowboys hosted the Chiefs in the Hail Mary game that Dallas still won. But so, like, there was all this, like, is there going to be a video, you know, whatever, blah, blah, Jason Witten, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, it was Witten's return in the booth on the exact same day that was 1 year later of Tony Romo's first return.
Yeah. And I would say, just two more references for you. Okay. 2002. Against the Titans, that was the game. Cowboys won that one. That was a big one. But that was the game Steve McNair got knocked out when he was running to the sideline, and he crashed his helmet into the little setup. And then you had Neil O'Donnell have to play the rest of the way. And then I only know this from, as you know, I like to always, whenever things go bad, I like to tell everybody how bad it is. And so I'll go, like, look through, like, you know, the but, like, I'll look through the record books to try and find, like, this is the worst offensive performance of all time where they've done this. And so many of them have been ruined by Christmas 2000 against the Titans, because they were so damn bad that day. Anthony Wright on that day, 5 for 20, 35 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 0.0 passer rating. They had 95 yards and no points. And so they were pathetic that day. 3 yards per carry. Got sacked 4 times and just got destroyed. It just about every time I try and find a record of the Cowboys offense, like, man, they were terrible today, it's never as bad as that one.
My last thing is, like, on the subject of, like, obscure, depressing stats that you like to whip out, because the one I'm most proud of having, like, birthed, the Eagles game that I talked about, the Jerry Hall of Fame night, was the midway point of it. And I know you remember this. After they lost to the Chargers on Thanksgiving Day, shout out to Rod Smith, who scored. And then, you know, they went for 2, I think it was, and, or maybe Dan Bailey missed that extra point. That was a long few months, and you know why. But anyway, that after they lost to the Chargers, because so they lost, there was the burning of Atlanta, then there was the Eagles loss on Sunday Night Football, and then the Chargers loss on Thanksgiving. They went 3 straight games scoring in the single digits. And I vividly remember looking this up in the press box that day on Thanksgiving, and then talking to Mike Ducey about it, like, in the locker room that night, saying this was the first time in Dallas Cowboys franchise history they scored in the single digits. It's 3 straight games. So that's, like, my, like, Mona Lisa of depressing stats.
And then I had to tell you, like, you were working harder and not smarter, right, because right. You could just use the Pro Football Reference.
I still felt good about the validity of my research, but yeah, that was a frustrating moment. But what was yours? It was when I think it was the 2019 season ended. That I know you know which one I'm talking about. That it was like a dagger to every Cowboys fan. About it was something.
Oh,
that was,
yeah, I don't remember the specific thing, but it's basically nobody with their point differential had, like, ever missed the play, or, like, had ever finished 500 or worse. They were the right. First one, like, out of, like, 200 teams or something. So, no, that, I do love doing that. Now, also, just so that people don't think I'm negative all the time, I do like the reverse of it. When I have a great day, I like digging up the stats, tell you, like, they've never played better than this.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I like to do. I like to, whatever way it is, let's feel that way really, really aggressively. Let's feel terrible and let the depression sweep over us, or, you know, let's get high together. That's what I say.
Respect. Okay. I like that. See, like, yeah, you provide, like, legitimate reasons, like, contextually, to feel good about what's happening. And I'm just like, well, last time the Cowboys played the Giants on Thanksgiving, they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. So we got you covered either way. That's right, why you should follow both RJ and I.
Well, Bobby's on Twitter at BobbyBellTX. You can hear him on 105 Through the Fan and see him on all of their properties. And I think he'll also tweet out his address, and you can go see him there. Maybe ask his wife how she's
doing. If you want to.
Right.
If you're like me, you could probably just find my address by searching through the internet like I do to people.
Definitely a Bobby-ism. Robert, you have said it all. You have done it all. You are magnificent. You're handsome. You're perfect. You're extraordinary. And you smell delightful, if I'm being frank with you. So, anything else you want to say before I hit stop recording? Now is the opportunity to do so.
Just that I love you all.
Give us a food recommendation. Just anything, any food, good food. Go.
Go to Chick-fil-A, get the grilled nuggets, and get the sweet and spicy sriracha sauce. Put it in a container and shake it up. It's delightful.
All right. Well done. Love you. Later.
Love you too.
Want to give a big time shout out, big time thank you to Bobby for the time. That was so much fun. Just kind of going through, you know, different memories. And he said it while we were talking, but it's funny how when you have conversations like that, and this is about sports, but I think this is true, you know, whether it's your own memories with your friends or your family or whatever, life, you know, pop culture, politics, whatever, you kind of uncover memories while you're talking about it. Like, I didn't remember that I remembered some of those things. For example, like, I hadn't thought about the Andre Garrod, Albert Hainsworth incident, and I don't even know how long. You know, just, it was a really, really fun exercise. And so, again, big thanks to Bobby for the time. Hopefully you enjoyed it. My name's RJ Ochoa. In case you somehow missed it, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at RJ Ochoa. I'm also talking on the tick. Talking as in T-O-K, not T-A. Okay, but I am talking. I am on TikTok is the long way of saying that. RJ.Ochoa, because some jerk had RJ Ochoa taken already. But my plan is to do a lot of those, you know, all the time now, basically. So please do subscribe once again here to the Blog and the Voice Podcast Network. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a lot of things coming out there as well. But yeah, that about does it for this episode of the Ocho. I hope you enjoyed. The ride is now over. The like metallic bar thing is like coming up and you can get out. Please be safe exiting the vehicle. And I hope you have a great Thursday. I hope you have the greatest Thursday of all time. I hope you have the best Thursday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.